This is the No Agenda Countdown. Today is April 19th, 2009, informing you that today is a live broadcast of No Agenda, covering the real news that could change the world. Featuring Adam Curry from Gitmo Nation East, radiating from the southwest corner of London. And from Gitmo Nation West, a man who finally waits to announce his name at the end of the introduction, John C. Dvorak. Bringing you needlessly sensational voiceovers for No Agenda in a fully armed and operational battle station above Gitmo Nation South, I'm Parker R. Snyder. In the morning, Crackpot and Buzzkill discuss the earth-shattering news that is important to you. Tune in today at noagendastream.com. Remember, No Agenda is brought to you by Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak, and viewers like you. Head to noagendalibrary.com or dvorak.org/NA to make your donation today. For Hyperbolic Voiceovers, I'm Parker R. Snyder. Now, on with the countdown.
Welcome to lucky episode number 13, same as my shoe size, of Jay Won't Dart's podcast, Crackpot episode. This episode is all about Adam Curry, aka Crackpot, from the No Agenda podcast. I'll play some of the more wacky No Agenda clips during this episode. Again, here's a little history about No Agenda before I start. Alex the Mac voice reading from a Wikipedia page. If you want to skip this, it's a little over 5 minutes long.
No Agenda is a bi-weekly podcast hosted by Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak on the Mevio Network every Sunday and Thursday. The show is a free-flowing conversation about the week's news, happenings in the lives of the hosts and their families, and restaurant reviews from the dinners John and Adam have together when they are in the same city, usually San Francisco. Much of the appeal of the show comes from the odd couple relationship between the hosts. Adam Curry is younger, lives in London, and usually has more outlandish opinions of the week's news or world events. John C. Dvorak, on the other hand, is older, lives in northern Silicon Valley, and has a more reasoned demeanor. Thus John plays the straight man in the dialogue against Adam's wackiness. No Agenda came about in late 2007. Its premise was a simple one. The co-founder, Curry, and vice president, Dvorak, of Mevio have an unfiltered dialogue. The original tagline of No Agenda was that is was the show, with no sponsors, jingles, and of course no agenda. Indeed, the show's only sound effect would come during the closing minute, where a sedated jazz number to take the show out over the host's goodbyes. Topics included discussing the news of the day, restaurant reviews, and discussions of each other's family happenings. No Agenda continued to evolve over time, as each host cultivated the currently more structured format of the show, observing that the mainstream media coverage lacked any depth or unique perspective on many of the topics they discussed. The show became more news and politically focused. Adam brings a more youthful and countercultural outlook of the world. He often links current world events to a number of conspiracy theories, most of which center around a global plan bent around bringing about a new world order. John is much more mild-tempered, often relying on his knowledge of history and varied life experiences to shed light on the topics of the day. Further points of differentiation between the two hosts stem from Adam living primarily in the United Kingdom, while Dvorak resides on the west coast of the United States. This often leads to discussions on the variations of culture and news between the two continents. Both hosts are self-proclaimed independents, having no allegiance to one political party or ideology. Much of this is attributed to their belief that there is little difference between the two main United States political parties, whether by accident or design. Adam Curry endorsed Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul during the 2008 election. Catchphrases: Gitmo Nation. The combined United States, Gitmo Nation West, and United Kingdom, Gitmo Nation East, whose governments, in the eyes of the hosts, are in the process of stripping citizens of their rights. The phrase comes from the terrorist prison camp at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. During the introduction to the show, the hosts tell the listeners from which part of Gitmo Nation they are broadcasting from. John usually is at his home in Northern Silicon Valley and adds that location after he states he is in Gitmo Nation West. When he is at his compound in Port Angeles, Washington, he says that he is speaking from Gitmo Nation Northwest. Crackpot and the Buzzkill nicknames for Curry and Dvorak respectively. The term stems from Adam usually having wild ideas and theories about the news, while John tries to ground Adam in reality. In the morning, after watching the episode Mother Tucker of The Family Guy, where Stewie and Brian become DJs, the phrase was taken from Weenie and the But in the Morning 97.1 WQHG, where the two DJs use a lot of sound clip jockeying. Originally said by Adam Curry as a mocking of DJs and traditional radio media, it soon became a popular phrase with both Curry and the listeners. Adam then had the line professionally recorded in manner and tone of a top 40s radio station. It now adorns most show bumpers and intros. It is also interspersed at various moments of the show, whether it is set up as a punchline or just thrown in by Curry. Dvorak is working on a hookup to his sound system that would allow him to drop in the morning, if Adam falls into such a punchline himself. The fractal, a theory put forth by John, that the world power structure is based on a mathematical fractal, an infinite self-replicating shape. He came to this realization after news of the Bernard Madoff Ponzi scheme scandal broke. Dvorak contends that the Madoff scandal is merely a replication of the larger financial system's deceitful nature and shortcomings. The fractal principle has been used by both hosts to find similarities between a specific example of wrongdoing and the larger failings of the system. Now back to real news. Stories brought up on the show that the media focuses on yet have little importance. These tend to be of the celebrity gossip or other soft subject variety. Adam and John mock the media's fascination with stories that appeal to the least common denominator or simply giving the public what it wants, rather than what it needs. Crackpot Command Center. A room in Curry's home in London that houses his podcasting equipment. Buzzkill Bunker. John C. Dvorak's own command center, located in Northern Silicon Valley, or wherever he happens to be during recording.
I hope the next Mac operating system update teaches Alex how to say Dvorak properly. Before I vanish, I thought I'd bring up the difference between the jingleless No Agenda at the start and the current version that is fancy American-style radio jingles. This is before...
Once again, it's time for the show that has no jingles, no commercials, no music, no talent, and most certainly no agenda. Produced on a Skypophonic transcontinental connection, it's the ultimate oral friends with benefits. From the Manor, just south of London, I'm Adam Curry.
And I'm John C. Dvorak in Northern California.
Hey, John, how you doing? It's a Saturday evening for me, Saturday morning, afternoon for you.
And after, the current style of intro...
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Clinging to the life raft of sanity by a single strand of reality. It's Thursday, April 2nd, 2009.
This is No Agenda.
Burrowed deep beneath the southwest quadrant of London in the Crackpot Command Center in Gitmo Nation East. I'm Adam Curry.
And looking left, looking right, looking up, looking down in Northern Silicon Valley. Still looking. I'm John C. Dvorak.
Crackpot and Buzzkill
in the morning.
Hey everybody, rockin'. I love it when a show starts off like that.
So you write some little ditty at the beginning of this thing, I notice.
The opening, you mean?
Yeah.
You've only noticed that now after 84 episodes?
It's always a little different, so I'm starting to notice it.
You're an evil man.
What was this one? It was something
that
about...
That is the definition of buzzkill, my friend.
The stream of reality or string of reality. It was pretty... I thought it was creative.
Thank you. You should listen to the show once in a while. Or maybe even when I'm talking, you might consider... You know, your wife is so right. You are just rude.
I'm not rude
but I don't take.
Least.
But I don't take it
I'm
personally.
Funny.
I don't take it personally. Yes. Yes, you are. Good morning,
so,
sir.
So I understand from looking at, not from looking at American news so much, But to give us a rundown on the riots that appear to be taking place, where they turned off all the cameras in this area of London because they didn't want to show the cops beating people up, or they didn't want to show the rioters taking over. They just didn't want to show something.
So we have...
Big difference, huh? Anyway, time to roll the clips before I get angry emails. Quit your yapping, boy. Hope you enjoy the show. I'll pop up at the end of the episode as usual.
Even the, showing how the immature adults can be.
So we were talking about this, just back to the flu for a second. We were talking about that earlier in the week. And you said something really interesting after I made a comment. And you said it would be a great theme for a book. And this is a theory that I've had for a long time, is that, you know, every season, I'm sure some pharmaceutical conspiracy throws shit into the air so that they can go sell all the antidote.
And it's, yeah, I know you said that. And it's a nut job thing to say, but I was thinking, well, wouldn't it actually be a bad idea for a book or a crappy, you know, TV show or something like that?
Well, just think about it. So, that, you know, Patricia, as long as I've been married to her, she and even well, as long as I've known her, she's always gotten the flu shot every single year. She's a big believer. I am not a believer in the flu shot because, at least I wasn't a believer in the flu shot because I'm like, how the hell can they have this? This thing changes, it morphs, it comes back in different, at least this is what I think we're led to believe, is that, you know, when this flu comes back, and it's amazing how it always comes back kind of in the wintertime. But now these flu jabs, which are not cheap, they
they're
work.
$10, come on.
$10, but
they're
they,
$10.
But
they, what do you mean they're not cheap?
But they work, right?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, so.
Well, you're changing your whole pitch here on the other story.
I'm saying they're pre-selling the antidote.
This is a form of extortion.
Yes. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I've thought that myself once in a while. It's like these guys dream up these, you know, they go, there's actually typically four vaccines in a flu shot for four different versions of the flu that they predict based on epidemiology and some other things. I don't know.
Is it really a prediction, or do they know what they're going to throw in the air? That's what I'm saying.
Well, see, that's what you're saying, and I can imagine other people thinking that. I mean, it's an interesting theory to consider, but I think if you talk to a virologist, you might get a reasonable. Maybe we should get one on the show, and somebody can explain to us how this actually does work. Because I don't believe for a minute that they have to, because of the way the flu perpetrates itself, spreads itself. They don't have to do that, what you're claiming. People do it on their own. You know, people sneeze on each other. They don't, you know, use a Kleenex.
No,
they
right.
Blow
but,
their nose
but the actual,
street.
But the actual flu itself, right? I mean, this thing comes and why does it appear all of a sudden? Why does the flu just appear? I mean, so they know what it is because they can create the antidote for it, right?
The vaccine.
I like antidote. Sounds better.
I like the antidote though. It's a funny idea.
And then, you know, lo and behold, the virus shows up. But where does that virus originate from? And how come it's exactly the virus that they have the antidote for?
China.
yet, you know, bird flu, we can't figure out when that one hits. I don't know. I just got a weird feeling about it. I don't know.
I think a lot of people are like you, you know, misinformed and believe in conspiracies and
blonde,
really not blonde, not too interested in science or anything like that.
No, not at all interested in that kind of stuff. Forget about it.
Why don't we get a virologist and we'll talk to him and we'll figure this out and maybe educate ourselves and the public.
And he's running this whole thing. He's, you know, like one of those typical washed up pop stars that, you know, had to get a gig, and he winds up in the administration of some kind of royalty based organization for the mob. And he's saying, like, you know, well, you know, the British creative community is suffering. And I'm like, what a bunch of crock. You know, the British creative
community. A bunch of crock?
Yeah, the British creative community is suffering.
Let me write down that usage. Yeah, how are they suffering, did he say? I mean, this is like this kind of self, you know, centered way of seeing the
bunch
world.
Of
this,
crock.
It's a bunch of crock. It's now it's on the lexicon. It's a bunch of crock.
You've never heard that? My mom used to say that.
She used to say bunch of crock?
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a bunch of crock.
Wow. I never heard that ever.
Instead of a crock of?
Yeah, crock of. So you my dad or mom. Or
we
my
used,
mom
to have a, we used to have a crock. And
you
we
used
made
to say it's a crock of crap, or yeah. It's a, or just it's a crock,
yeah, a
which bunch, would imply it was a crock of crap.
A bunch of crock.
A bunch of crock.
So you didn't ask me what I you didn't ask me what I was doing. Why I took the train with my car.
I'm more fascinated by the journey. But okay. Anyway, what were you doing, by the way?
I went to go to the Black Cross. Did we talk about this last week?
No.
Okay, the Black Cross is a motocross, you know, like motorcycle, cross motorcycles. And it started, I think, God, maybe 10 years ago. My first one was 6 years ago, and it literally was an illegal, hence black. It's in Dutch, in the kind of in the eastern part of Holland known as the Achterhoek, or the back corner, which the people who live there and work there, mainly farmland, they would be equated to hicks from the south.
Okay,
just to give you some. But so they start this motocross, this illegal motocross, and this thing grows out, you know, 6 years ago when I went for the first time before there was any media attention. Already in a weekend, 100,000 people would show up, and it have these, you know, these people with the craziest things that, you know, like tanks would show up with, and, you know, and then they'd go around the track with surfboards behind him, with guys dressed up as Arabs waving to the crowd. You know, there's always five guys who have some kind of thing that looks like a dildo that they ride. I mean, it's crazy, right? It's just a complete carnival of burning fossil fuels and drinking massive quantities of beer, but it's really laid back and there's no aggression. And also there's no signage that says you can't go here, stop, go back. You know, it has signs like please scream loudly here, or complaints with an arrow pointing towards the exit. You know, completely the opposite.
Right, that kind of, yeah, old gags.
Yeah, but they really work. And even the cops who are out on the road helping direct traffic towards this event, and everyone camps there, of course. It's very much a festival, you know, so people show up in their campers and tents and just sheets and sticks. And so anyway, so I had set up a kind of a meetup with people who are into this hydroxy booster stuff. I'm sure I told you about this.
Nope.
Oh, fuck. The hydroxy booster, somewhat debated online, but it's a very simple construction of creating hydrogen and then feeding that into the intake of your car so that you get better mileage.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So I was going to meet up with.
So this is what you're telling me is this is your latest kind of, let's say, nutball thing you're working on, or what?
Yeah, just one of the many.
Okay.
This is the left nutball thing I'm working on. And so literally, you know, the way the system works is you have a canister of water, you put some plates in there, and then you put a current through it which comes from the battery, and then that creates hydrogen. And then you want to route that hydrogen into the intake of your manifold, or, you know, your carburetor or whatever. And the theory is that, you know, because this is a very efficient gas, hydrogen, that it mixes up with the gasoline, and of course it takes over a portion of the use, and you get better mileage. So I'm really interested in this, and you really can't buy them. You know, people make kits, and of course there's, you know, people doing MLM schemes with this stuff. So there's a lot of pros and cons. I really want to try this thing. So these guys agreed to show up. One guy had actually made the thing from PVC tubing and all wires hanging. This guy's an Einstein. He's like, he's talking about 0 point energy and, you know, quantum shit.
Then, yeah, it makes sense to me that he would be talking about that.
Yeah, but then another guy is from a car tuning shop, and he showed up with all the tools. And then yet another guy was the guy when someone said, does anyone have a roll of vulcanized tape on Teflon basis? And, you know, that was the guy who said, why, sure, I've got one right here. You know, a couple of people showed up with buses of, you know, like 911 was an inside job, etc. So it was totally my totally my people. Totally, totally my people. And we hooked this thing up. We built it right there on the spot. You know, it took a couple hours, and we built it in the wheel well. And I took pictures, John, and they're on my Flickr account, linked from my weblog, curry.com. So you can see the actual process, the chronology of this install. And I've tested it. I tested 100 kilometers yesterday. And this is based, the way I tested it was, filled up the tank. It's a 60-liter tank. And then, drove until it was about 3/4 empty, maintained the mileage that I drove, and then filled it up to see how much went back into the tank. Right? Very simple way of checking your mileage. You agree?
It seems to work. It's a subtractive way of doing it. Just, of course, you have to have a consistent type of driving, but yeah.
Right. So the consistent type of driving I used was both highway based, but one was at 110 kilometers per hour and the other one was 130 kilometers per hour. At 130 kilometers per hour, it does about, it gave me about an 11% efficiency. So I was doing
11% improvement?
Improvement, yeah. So before I was doing 1 liter would take me 10 kilometers, and now 1 liter took me 11 kilometers. But under that, so like 110, I was doing closer to 1 to 13. So I was closer to like a 29% improvement. Crazy, huh?
I'm skeptical. But, you never know.
But the numbers don't lie.
Well, the numbers don't lie if those are the numbers, indeed.
Right. Well, all I did is I tracked the mileage, did 100 kilometers, give or take, but I tracked it, and then I divided it.
So let's assume that this process works.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do about it?
I'm not going to start a business, John. That's for sure. No, I mean, it's clear that, this stuff has to be developed because, it's PVC and it can melt. And, it's still in the hobby stage. What am I going to do with it? I don't know. I'll promote anyone who's building this stuff and trying to get it in people's hands. I mean, it seems like a pretty good way to save some money. Anyone can build one. It's not hard. It's just plastic and
tubing. I find it fascinating that people like yourself who are multimillionaires are out to save a nickel or two on their gasoline.
I'm not out to save a nickel or a dime on gasoline. Obviously, I'm out to see if this fucking theory works. You sit on your ass with your goddamn Acura driving around complaining about how much you have to pay for parking. I'm actually trying to do something for the people.
I don't complain about parking, nor do I have an Acura, for God's sake.
What is that thing you have? What is that thing we drive in?
You shouldn't. If you don't know it, you can't afford it. So, so you spent $500 to go to a thing to save a couple of bucks. It's just okay. I think it's good.
I wanted to meet these people. I wanted to hear what they had to say. I wanted to see the process. It was very educational. It was fun at the same time. And then we saw some guys driving around on motorized dildos.
It's possible that mixing, extracting the oxygen and hydrogen from water with your own, car energy, and then pumping that back into the gasoline.
To it's just into the mixture.
Performance. It's possible that it would, have some beneficial characteristics.
Well, here's the next step.
Although it seems like you get a lot of water in your
No water. It's not. It's not condensation.
Oxygen and hydrogen without water coming out of the deal.
Hold on a second. It's not condensation or anything.
No, but when you burn hydrogen and oxygen together, and what you're getting the gas off the water is hydrogen and oxygen,
But that just comes out the back. That just comes out the exhaust. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, but it forms a vapor trail throughout the engine, and that has to create rust and all kinds of issues. I don't know. Maybe there's not enough to make a difference, I suppose.
Well, the theories are quite different from that. In fact, the theories are it's much better for your engine. Oh, and by the way, I put in unleaded 95, no super 98 shit or anything like that, runs the same.
We can't even get 98 here.
No? Oh, okay. We got 98 over here. I think we still have 98. Well, anything that says ultimate or super speedy, I didn't put in it. But it was, you'll take a look at the pictures. They built it into the wheel well, so it actually has extra cooling from removing my front left mist lamp.
Did you have these guys just install this on your system, or did you do it?
No, it was like three different guys. One guy had made the thing, and he had kind of he'd installed it on his own car, but, you know, he's not a great installer. This other guy was like, you know, a guy who installs radar systems and anti-laser blips and blops. And so he had all the shit. He knows how to install something to a car properly. But then, you know, we didn't have a garage with, you know, all the stuff. And there was this other guy, and he just had everything. He had everything from cheese fondue to the vulcanized tape on Teflon basis. You know, the guy had fucking everything in his car. It was amazing.
I can see the headline now in the Daily Standard. Crackpot Curry car explodes in downtown London. Four injured.
Oh, man.
Hydrogen blamed.
So I don't know. It was just interesting. And these are some pretty hardcore people. You know, they're thinking about other stuff. So the only thing I'm disappointed about during this week's program, John, is that I'm kind of disappointed you're skeptical about the results of my booster. You should be like interested and happy.
I'm going to look into it.
Okay.
If you got 30% better 29, gas 29, mileage,
29% better gas
and you
mileage,
can, you can duplicate that effort. You know, sure. And the engine doesn't rust out from the inside out.
Well, that of course, I don't know. I mean, the engine could blow up. This thing could explode. I mean, anything could happen. But it is working. It really is working. Temperature will make a difference. You know, so right now it's warm. I have no idea what it'll do if it's colder. I mean, I haven't even considered what if it freezes. I mean, I got water in a PVC thing. Isn't that going to freeze and crack? I mean, I haven't thought about any of this yet.
Well, you'll find out as it goes along, but it seems to me, I was, years and years ago, I knew this guy was an automotive engineer, and he invented all kinds of weird stuff, and he says, you know, the problem is with the industry, generally speaking, if there's a new breakthrough technology, it's too much work to tool it up. I mean, to get every new idea implemented is just, they can't do it. And, I mean, it was a miracle that hybrid cars ever came out. Toyota's pretty aggressive with their stuff.
I heard, I'm sorry.
But anyway, I was just going to say, it's possible that some of these things that some, you know, people invented and they show it works, you know, that did, nobody cares. I mean, but it could well be a great product.
Well, I think you're right there. Nobody really cares. I mean, you know who cares? Truckers care. Because these guys are developing these huge, like, you know, they'll do 100 liters of gas per hour that they'll produce, and they're building them for these diesel truckers. Because these guys, you know, for them, you know, you're spending $50,000 a month on fuel. You know, hey, it ain't too bad if you can reduce that by 25 or 30%. So, at scale, you know, there's a lot of people very interested in this, and these guys are building stuff.
Now look into it. I am skeptical, but I'm skeptical about everything. But I'll look into it. It just seems to me that when you start talking about, you know, essentially when the guy's building a hydroxy, whatever the hell it's called,
booster,
yeah, 1 minute and talking about, you know, 0-point energy, which or whatever that's called, which is just total crap.
You don't know? You're not a physicist.
Talk to any physicist who does know.
Well, I haven't done that. All I know is I got better mileage. I got better mileage. That's all I know. And I'm like, and I was pretty much convinced it would happen anyway. And I drove everything on cruise control. So it, you know, but, you know, road and weather conditions vary. But at the end of the day, you can't deny I had to put less gas in, than in my benchmark. There was literally less petrol I could put into the tank. Now it's only a couple of liters, but it's still a couple of liters.
It makes a big deal at those prices. You know, it's $20 a pop or whatever, you know, you're probably saving. Well, just keep doing it and give us a report every week, and I'll look into it in the meantime and see what it looks like. And so far as there must be somebody that's done the math.
Well, the next step is they're going to give me a little box, and it has two knobs on it, and I got to connect that to the computer. Because, you know, the car has a chip, obviously, and it's adjusting stuff. So you can actually lean your mixture electronically. So I should be able to get even better fuel consumption out of it.
Well, you might be able to get better fuel consumption just by tweaking the computer anyway.
Well, I'm sure. So these guys did tell me an interesting story, which I thought was just kind of funny. Because, you know, as far as we know, no one has tried this, at least not in the Benelux, on an injection engine. So, you know, these guys got old Volvos and, you know, crazy ass station cars and stuff that's just old, right? So here I come, and I've got an injection.
So these are
engine.
Carbureted engines, mostly.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, exactly. So this was the first injection system with a chip, and so you know, we get to talking about the, and of course these guys are, you know, they're off the wall, And we get to talking about injection systems. Oh, man, they say this is great. So they developed this apparently around 1971 or 1972, and everyone needed to have an injection engine, and an injection that was, you know, it was fantastic. But actually, they said that of every single car that got an injection engine, certainly the early ones, the actual mileage went down because they were incredibly inefficient and actually are blowing fuel in there, or were blowing fuel in there at points in the cycle that would not even ignite. That they actually was just a, you know, of course, a conspiracy, that they were, you know, the injection engine came out just to get people to spend more on fuel. And now that I think about it, I'm like, you know, I really don't know if an injection engine, what it is for, other than it looks great on the back of your trunk, you know, injection. Yeah, but think about it.
I know about injection engines, and the reason for them is because you can meter the fuel into each cylinder individually. It's not a, like a carburetor, which you got a bunch of gas going in, gets vaporized with, you know, by being mixed with air as it sucks through the manifold, and then it gets distributed in a kind of a, you know, a haphazard way. And so it's an inefficient device. I mean, unless you have a bunch of them, one for each cylinder, then you damn near have an injection system. I'm not buying this at all.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, early injectors were like designed to just pump a crap load of fuel into the thing.
Right.
But I'm talking, the modern fuel injector is an extremely efficient, the only reason we have great gas mileage on these cars is because of these injectors.
Well, that of course depends on how your chip is set.
The only reason we have a horsepower to you know, cubic inch ratio as high as it is because of injectors.
Right. But that all depends on how it's tweaked. And what your chip is doing.
Well, you tweak it. Generally speaking, the problem with the chips is they're tweaking it to meet emission requirements more than they are for performance.
That's true. Anyway, a lot of fun stuff going on out there. Oh, yeah, Planet X is coming. Nibiru's here, and we're all going to die.
Oh, yeah, Planet X. Now, that one I've always gotten a kick out of.
Yeah, I'm not into the Planet X stuff. I don't think that's... that doesn't sound right to me.
Planet X.
But yeah. Bases on the moon? Yeah, we got those.
Bases on the moon.
We got parking spots up there, man.
Well, that's the reason we're going, you know, if I want to play that game. I still like the idea that I prefer the we've never been to the moon thing. It's more fun.
No. This one's better. I can play this one better now.
Well, okay, we can go with this theory, though, whether we have bases on the moon or whether we have
never been
to the moon, and we can still make the following argument. China's decided they want to go to the moon, so now we want to go to the moon again. And the only reason we want to shoot up there again is to keep China from either finding the bases on the moon or so we can place those artifacts that we claim to have left the first time.
Nah, I think what, you know, first of all, the world is shooting rockets up into space a lot with the European Space Agency, NASA, you know, there's a lot going up there. And no one ever really questions the experiments that they're doing. Because, well, do you ever hear about what they're actually doing up there, John?
It's mostly growing insects, it seems to me, or seeing if they can melt.
So let's feed the world and not spend $10 billion a year on NASA if they're just growing insects. So of course they're not, you know. So the theory is that they're pooping out rocket ships once they're up in orbit, and then those rocket ships go off to our bases on the moon and Mars.
Yeah, no one's ever going to discover that.
Well, they didn't discover the fourth astronaut.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. There's a lot out there. And it's okay because it makes me feel happy. It's better than fucking television. It's much more entertaining.
It's all about the new movie.
Yeah, I'm down with that. So, the X-Files. Oh, that was it. You said that the other day, and I have to give you cred for that. You said maybe all this Larry King stuff is just one big promotion. You know, so Larry King is doing a lot of UFO shows in the past couple weeks. And you said it might be a big PR job. And lo and behold, the X-Files is coming out this week.
Yeah. Now, watch about a month from now. You will hear nothing about UFOs. You'll hear all this stuff will just go away.
All right, we'll track it. Or we get the big one. We get the big holographic invasion. that says,
yeah, no movie.
Give us
there's
all
no
your
movie
guns.
Involved, so unless there's another movie about, you know, something similar coming out, you have to check. You know, we need a subscription to Variety so we can see what the schedule looks like. I think there's some websites that, you know,
they
is there another
it, yeah.
big budget tent pole sci-fi movie that involves
can
aliens.
It get any bigger than X-Files? And they'll take the same images and they'll use the holographic projector that they used for the 9/11 planes. And then they'll just project those images or versions of them, and we'll all get freaked out. We'll surrender our guns, and then the depopulation can begin.
Yeah. So the reviews in on the X-Files movie are mixed.
Oh, really? I mean, it'll come out, I think, in another week here. So
yeah, but it's been seen, and it's mixed. Some really? People think it's just a sleazy. It's got nothing to do with aliens, it turns out. It's mostly to do with, you know, mind control or psychic abilities or something. But it looks like it's a lot of people are very disappointed in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Mind control, as in we can use
or
more of our brains.
Psychic thing. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the story line is.
Are you going to go see
I'm
it?
I'm just saying.
You should go see it. Why don't you
I'm
go
not
see
gonna
it?
See. I'm going to go see it. I'm going to rent it, maybe, or see it on HBO. Which reminds me, this is another topic I just thought about. I'm watching what used to be Siskel and Ebert that became Ebert and Roper.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Ebert is got, you know, he's recovering from various ailments, so he's never on the show anymore.
So now it's what and Roper?
And now it's this new guy from the Chicago Tribune or whoever he is who's actually pretty good. And the two guys argue and moan and bitch and gripe at each other, as the old original show did. Yeah. But they've dropped the two thumbs up to make it, you know, see it, rent it, or skip it, which is exactly what I was doing when I was at CNET in the mid-90s with a buy it, something, and then skip it, something like that. We had the same three categories, but the thing about this new category, see it, rent it, or skip it, it's like, why would you give up a franchise of the thumbs up,
thumbs down? Yeah.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, because it got all kinds of attention. Thumbs up, two thumbs up, which is the best thing a movie could receive, was two thumbs up, which would be the two guys agreeing.
Yeah.
Now what are they going to say? It's the two see
it. It
doesn't even sound good.
Skip it, says Roper. See it, says Roger. Oh, no. Ramper.
It's bad. I mean, what do you give up? It's like one of the greatest franchises in modern television history. Yeah. The thumbs up, two thumbs up, and then they throw it away because somebody's got a hair up their ass?
I'd have to say then it's probably because for that very reason. You know, so now they basically can never see. Never again will it be, this is a movie I'm not going to want to see because it got two thumbs down. Because you're right, there never will be a two skip it. There's just no negative.
It also, right, and they've also watered down the whole procedure by adding a third category of rent it, which sounds like a sellout category.
But they can use that later. But they can use that when the DVD comes out on, when it comes out on DVD, then they can use their quotes again. Roper says, rent it.
Right. It's a scam.
Yeah, sellout. You're right. It's a sellout. Speaking of my mom. So I stayed overnight, Friday night at Bob's house. That was her second husband. They've been together 15 years or something like that. So, of course I knew Bob, but he's not like really, you know, the official family, but then he really is family. And so it's now been 2 years since my mom passed. So I was like, go hang out with Bob and see how he's doing. And so, the house is very much, you know, my mom's stuff is all still in there, and she had a huge Wedgwood collection, you know, really beautiful, all color coordinated. And so still has all that up, but he has kind of transformed into a guy pad. He's put
big
in a
difference.
Yeah, he's put in a big widescreen, and he's got, you know,
his first thing a guy does.
Yeah, of course. He's got his Dolby 5.1 surround sound with 18 speakers hidden throughout the entire living room. And he's like, and you know, because I don't know really what our common ground is. And he's like, hey, let me show you some DVDs, because he's really into gadgets now. And he's 65. He's almost 65. He'll be 65 in October. And so he pulls out, you know, all these music concert DVDs. You're like, here, let's check this one out from the Eagles. I'm like, Eagles kind of boring. You got to listen to this guitar, how the guy plays. So it was actually a pretty good piece. But then he pulls out Roger Waters, who I've never, ever been into. Pink Floyd, you know, like Money and some of the hits. Like, because I've always been in a top 40 hit radio, and I just kind of listened to the to the chorus. It doesn't have a hook, you know. All right, you know, I can pick a hit pretty much. But this one had subtitles on the DVD. And man, the shit that Pink Floyd and Roger Waters, it's really, really politically motivated.
Yeah, well, that was that era.
Yeah, I know, but I've never really, even the words of like time or money, you know, you think you know what you're singing, but you don't actually know what they're singing. And now they had the subtitles. Man, it was exactly what's going on now. It was so, it fit right into these times.
Yeah, well, you know, what can I say?
You can say I was there the first time, son.
I actually saw Pink Floyd in their first American tour. And,
yeah, how was it? Did you were you into what they were talking about, or were you just into?
Couldn't
LSD?
Understand a word they said.
Yeah,
it was the music,
so you needed the subtitles. That's what you needed, man.
Yeah, no, but you know, everybody was thinking that along those lines back then. But what the thing that was cool about Pink Floyd when they first showed up, and they did a gig in Marin County right off the bat at some special venue. It was some weird hall, and they had rigged it so they had speakers in a complete circle around the entire group.
Oh yeah, right.
So the
right,
whole
right.
thing. So when they would play something, they could have the sound go around in a circle and spin
right,
it around.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, there was a bunch of these guys. I mean, Grateful Dead used to use standing waves to get that weird effect, and mm-hmm. and Jimi Hendrix used to have a bunch of things flapping across the screen, and some, you know, he invented the wah-wah pedal, and
right.
and you know, these guys are into pretty aggressive new, you know, sounding
technologies and stuff,
deteriorated
yeah.
back to what it was in the '50s.
Well, now we have MP, and that was another thing I noticed. I'm like, wow, am I really starving my brain of good music when you just listen to MP3s? What I mean, that's a bunch of crock right there. When you hear something on Dolby 5.1 surround, like, what the hell am I doing listening to MP3s on a freaking iPod with earbuds? I mean, this is lame.
I've been thinking that for the last couple of years, because I see people roaming around. For one thing, the earbuds thing, they stick these things in their ears, and they're, by the way, injecting sound directly to the eardrum. It's not good for you.
Not good, no.
In fact, at Mevio, I'm sitting next to a guy who has, I'm not going to name who it is, but he's got his sound up so loud that I can hear what he's listening to.
Oh, that's
and he's
Greg.
Got these things stuck in his ear.
That's Greg. Greg Mand.
He's going to be deaf.
Is that Greg? Seriously?
No, it's not going to say. Anyway, so, but the point is that everybody does it. They got these things stuck in their ears, and they're walking around town, usually, and they're oblivious to everything else going around, and they walk in front of you. I always bump into you. There's, you know, in
yeah,
England, there was a story about
that. But I don't care about that. What I care about is the quality of so much. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I know, I agree. In fact, I'm a big old-fashioned speaker guy myself, and I've got, like, these huge, you know, Dahlquist old ones. I know the DQ10s hooked up with some subwoofers from, you know, and you crank it up, and you get an experience that you get at either a concert or at a symphony hall or something like that, as opposed to sticking these things in your ears and getting limited fidelity. Yeah. I don't care how good they are, and you know, and it's just uncomfortable. And you can't move around the sound. I mean, the sound is stuck in a fixed position. So if you walk around, you can't. It doesn't change, and I don't like it. I think, but nobody has speakers anymore. Nobody bothers.
Yeah, well, I think it's a shame because, and it was just rubbed right into my face, you know, because he had the subwoofers, he had the tweeters, and right, you know, tuned, man, like, and he made me sit in a certain spot on the couch. You know, he's tuned this experience. And, you know, HDMI, HD, I mean, it's, you know, he's like, 1080. Well, I don't even know what, I've lost track of all this shit. But I'm looking at it, so I've got this great picture. I've got this sound that is just going through me. You know, and I'm like, it was a really good experience. I'm like, wow, I'm really, really depriving myself of so much by listening to so much music on crappy MP3. And what an endorsement for CDs right there to go out and buy the actual product. If people would sell the benefit of really hearing the music, really hearing it.
And feeling it.
Yeah.
Feeling it, hearing it. Because you feel those bass notes, they hit your, you know, solar plexus and your body shakes.
Yeah, and that shit's tuned. I mean, and that's why music works, because it's supposed to not just go through the ears. I mean, a lot of the resonances and the harmonies and stuff of, you know, basic music is, you know, and certainly the Pink Floyd stuff. I'm sure they thought about that and tuned it to certain frequencies that the human body reacts to or whatever. You know, those guys were into that.
Well, I'm glad you've got the you know, the wherewithal to put together a nice sound system.
I've got a pretty good sound system here.
Yeah, but you listen to earbuds anyway?
No, I mean, typically, even this show, you know, because sometimes, you know, actually, you know, knock on wood, but we've had great connection. But, you know, it's, whenever I listen to something, I put it on the big speakers here. Yeah, I mean, it's really important. I can't do a mix with headphones. Do I listen to earbuds? Yeah, but typically it's talk, you know, it's podcast or it's maybe an audio book or something like that. So, you know. But even in the car, I was listening to a couple of interviews, and I bought one of those Nokia charger transmitter jobbies, so I can just put it on the car radio, and I listened to it over the car radio. Much more enjoyable.
Yeah, I think so.
Although I'd hate to have to listen to music through an MP3 through a Nokia transmitter. Nokia, by the way, not necessarily known for their radio transmitters or their processing.
I don't know. I don't use that technology. I sound like people. You know, I'm always going to get some jerk that listens to the show commenting the following.
Some jerk.
What is this guy? He lives in the 18th century. He still uses CDs.
What are you worried for? What are you worried about people?
I'm just making the comment that people will criticize me for the simple reason that I still, when I have a bunch of stuff I want to listen to, I'll burn it on a disc.
Yeah.
And throw it in the car, you know, CD
player. Much better. It's much better.
And then pop, you know, when I want it, I'll pop it up.
Yeah, I didn't have any CDs with me. Otherwise, I would have burned the shit onto CD. I really would have.
Yeah, and you can, I mean, the CDs nowadays are 15 to 20 cents a piece.
Yeah, it's nothing.
You know, in fact, when I travel, I usually burn a couple of CDs before I go. Yeah. I tend to more recently be listening mostly to long lectures about stuff, but I'll burn a few CDs and I used to always make the mistake years ago. I'd have a CD, I'd go travel, I'd be in Vegas, somewhere, I'd have a special CD that I wanted to listen to on there. And then in the rental car, I'd forget it, leave it behind. Now I'm leaving it behind on purpose.
Yeah.
What do I need it for? I got just 20 cents, 15 cents, you know, once I lost 15 cents.
Yeah, whatever.
You know.
Because otherwise you just wind up with a bag full of old CDs.
Yeah, no, the CDs
you got to write something on it so you know what it is and then toss it out.
Right, and the funny thing is, I'm with you on this 100%, and the funny thing is, if you wanted to ever listen to it again, you can download it again. You know, it's not like you're going to never hear it again.
Yeah.
The fact that the two of them, Palin and Biden, went and, you know, Palin was a little better. She was better on two things. One on the, you know, by the way, what are the gays going to do listening to Biden saying, did you notice this?
Yeah, they both said, no way, no gay marriage. You're out of luck.
I thought that the Democrats were.
I was shocked. I was like, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense.
And he said that Obama agreed with him.
So there you go. There's your government, to our gay listeners. There's your government. They hate you. They hate you. Both of them. You still going to vote for one or the other?
Palin was more magnanimous.
Of course, she's smart. And you know what? She has, first of all, this is America, John. And now I'm actually sounding like an asshole Republican. But the way she handled that.
As opposed to a what? A regular
just a
Republican?
Kook. No, just a kook. Just a fucking kook.
Oh, a kook.
The kook that I am. But the way she handled that, I was extremely impressed. She said, look, it's not my style. It's not my choice. Blah, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
She went through all that. And then she said, but you know what? I stand by it. Marriage should be man or woman. So that's, you know, that's something that's debatable and we'll debate about it forever. And, you know, that's okay. It seemed to me, although she did skate around that answer, that she agreed with just about everything and all legal rights, et cetera, but she was hiding something there. I'm not quite sure what it was.
Well, the way she was handling it, I thought, was pretty, you know, typical. Well, she's a Christian and she's, you know, Pentecostal. She has all these, you know, all this baggage.
Yeah, sure.
And she was dealing with it as a person, but you didn't feel that was going to get in the way of her legislation or anything else. But you turn it over to Biden, he seemed like the bigot.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. And I think that's really going to hurt him.
Oh, I think it's going to hurt the campaign because these gays are like lined up lockstep with Obama and Biden, and now they're hearing this.
Yeah,
this will be, you know, because I'm sure there's a lot, you know, there's probably as many gay people that are Republicans as there are Democrats because it's got nothing to do with anything.
John, but we're all gay.
They were all walking over toward the Democrat side because it seemed as though they were more amenable. But now it's like, well, what difference does it make? Let me just vote my party. That was a botch.
That was a huge botch. But also, it came from a very direct, very... That was one of the times he was extremely direct.
As if you look at some of the extreme right-wing talks guys, or the most conservative, like Michael Savage, for example, one of the more entertaining guys and one of the biggest talk show hosts in the United States on radio, he's been saying this from day one, that the thing is rigged for McCain to lose. He wants to lose it. Because, you know, they want to get the Democrats in, and if you listen to me in my, you know, 80-year cycle thing, the idea is if you get the Democrats in during this point of the cycle,
everything tanks.
They will never get in office again in their entire history. Right. That the party, it will be dead.
Well, you know, that's interesting you say that, and I don't believe the world is too dynamic, and this is why they're all running scared, by the way. To really plan something that far ahead anymore. So I believe that, of course, the true owners of the earth control both candidates. So I think that they basically hedge their bets and it's a playbook.
You could do worse than dropping that theme.
Why? I truly believe in it.
I am Gore.
No. Oh, come on. You know what I'm talking about. These guys are all bought and paid for. Come on. That's obvious. Please, this is why I say Sarah Palin's sense. We need to create a movement.
They would have a sense of the cycle, and they would want to get one person or other, somebody in there for a purpose.
But they're going to tank it anyway. They know how to. That's already happening. People are so stupid.
After
you cook on my aga.
So I'm thinking about this. I don't want to bring in a little paranoia into this, but I was thinking about this aga thing.
Uh-oh.
I'm thinking, I want you to run this past your wife.
Okay.
Because she seems to be more in agreement with my views and often when I consider something to be a setup.
Well, that's because you guys are from World War II.
So anyway, I'm thinking, well, maybe they got to keep an eye on Adam. So what are we going to do? He's going to move into this new place. Well, how are we going to do this? Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we listen in what he really, some of his tastes, and let's get a place, and let's wire it up with microphones. And how are we going to make him buy this place? I know exactly how to do it.
Let's put an aga in it.
Put an aga in it, and I'll tell you, this idiot's going to buy the place. And he'll be in there. We'll have the whole place wired, and we can listen to his conversations 24/7 just in case. And bingo. The reason I thought of this is not that I'm thinking in these terms normally, is because what a coincidence that out of the blue...
A house appears that my wife
knows. A house appears on the market.
She's in on it. She's a shill. She's part of this black flag operation.
Out of the blue, just as you're looking for a place, there's another house with the stove you love, which are rare, by the way. This is not for people who want to know about this stove. I've never heard of anybody even owning one. Now we have two of them. And it shows up, and you like being reeled in. So here's what here's my thinking.
Okay.
You got to get there could be hard wires, which is harder to deal with than bugs that are, sending out transmissions. You have to bring an expert, a bug expert, to go through your house and make sure the place isn't wired for sound.
No, I think quite the opposite. I need to find the main transmission unit, and then I got to jack that shit into the net so we can stream that for a fee. I totally.
Well, that would work, too. That's just as good, but I'm just saying. Anyway, that was a thought that passed my mind. It's not like I'm, paranoid as you are, but, But run it past your wife and see what she thinks.
But I have the stock.
If you ever, and this is for the audience out there, because it was available in the United States, I have a copy on VHS. It's called Hot Pursuit. And it is a it's a porn movie, X-rated at least. And the voice of the lead guy character, who's a detective, is me. And it received the Fully Erect Penis Award from Hustler Magazine.
Was it a dubbed thing you were doing?
Yep. They had hired this guy, this, I was 17 at the time.
So you were dubbing porn when you were 17?
It's actually how I met my
does
wife.
Does that qualify as kiddie porn then?
In England it does. Yeah, that's how I met Patricia.
I could not say that you were a kiddie porn star before you got your
Hey, John, let's not say that, okay? It's like not a very good idea.
All right, I won't say it.
But get your hands on that. Bada boom.
So what you're implying is that essentially the government apparatus and everything that works for that has been working for Americans to improve our lot in life have basically sold us out.
Yes. Absolutely. And I believe there's a lot of really good people in government. I think there's a lot of really good civil servants, but they are probably too afraid, don't want to make waves. They've got a job. Some of them do. Some stand up, and they're still a little misguided in what they say and what they latch onto. They don't really see the big picture. But yeah, in general, I think the whole system is completely corrupt from inside out. And just look at Wall Street. Just look at the bailout. Just look at the SEC, the whole Madoff thing, who, by the way, was one of the creators of NASDAQ. Yeah, so yeah, I'm pretty sure that this thing, and you know, hello, awake all of a sudden. Do we see what's going on? If there's smoke, there's fire. If it smells like shit, looks like shit, and tastes like shit, it's probably shit.
A moment in our history.
Obama. At this defining moment, change has come to America. A government of the people, by the people, and for the people has not perished from the earth. This is your victory. We are and always will be the United States of America.
A moment in our history.
Obama.
Lovely.
Well, I think that you're just putting everybody on a bummer.
I'm sorry to do that, but that's what you can expect from Crackpot, which I am.
And Buzzkill.
I think it works better if it's...
I'm not the one making... You're more of a Buzzkill than me. I just want to throw that out
there. What if it's not specified, dude? No one said
I think it's Crackpot and Buzzkill and Dvorak.
I think it should be Crackpot and the Buzzkill. There should be a "the" in there. It shouldn't just be...
Okay, I like the.
So
yeah,
you feel better now? You feel better that you've got a little "the" thing like King Buzzkill?
Like the Buzzkill.
The Buzzkill. Crackpot and the Buzzkill, everybody, in the morning.
All right, well, we'll talk again on the weekend and see if we can sustain this level of information since, you know, we did another hour and a half. I'd like to get it down to an hour.
Oh, I kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, it's hard to stop. Of course, I have to go do Tech 5 Top 5, which I'm going to have to do either tomorrow or this afternoon now because I'm going to miss my...
Always bitching and moaning.
Yep.
Okay.
That's what a buzzkill does.
So... As of today, at this very moment, my surfing habits, IP addresses, times of use, connections made through the interwebs are being logged by my ISP and handed over to the intelligence services of the United Kingdom.
They're going to wonder why you were on so long today. What's he doing? What is he doing?
The EU data.
He's streaming.
Oh, it's exactly. Streaming. I can just see a guy. Some alert. Guy's like smoking a cigarette. Hey, man. Oh no, man. It's Curry and Dvorak. He's streaming again. Uh-oh. What are we going to do?
In the morning.
Actually, it's even worse with you. You're not only streaming to our little audience of live listeners, but you're doing a Skype call.
Yep.
So you got actually two streams
coming up. Double up. Yep.
So that's suspicious right there.
Yeah, it'll never pass A, and it would be interesting to see if Ron Paul's still alive 2 years from now.
Oh, no. Ron Paul has been around for a long time. He's not going anywhere. They're not going to do anything to him because they need someone to call out as the kook.
No, that's true. That's one of the reasons I appreciate you.
Yes. The love is so mutual. And I'm severely hurt. Everyone knows now that I've got my MILFy thing going for Bachman. And they send me a picture of her kissing George Bush. Could not be fuller on the lips. It just makes me wretch.
Boy, they know how to get to you, this audience.
Oh, man. Well, you know.
I know how to screw them up. Send him a picture. You know, it could be doctored. The whole picture could be a fake.
No, it looks pretty real.
You're being suckered. You're being bamboozled.
Well, I still love her to bits. I really do. I hope she stays around. But, you know, they're already doing the kook thing with her, so. Once you're labeled a kook, you're safe.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I keep telling Patricia, who is sometimes somewhat concerned.
Well, yeah, I would be too if I were her, but for other reasons.
Nah, man. Oh, nice.
Well, I need to get a drum, a little drum. I'll get a snare drum in here, and I can sit here with it.
I can always do it.
With the two drumsticks just ready to go.
In the morning.
And now, back to real news.
Dr. Don Rowe used to do that.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
So, I think that's about it.
Yeah, that's why I have the final tune running.
Christina is with us, and she brought her boyfriend, Dexter, who is, oh God, oh shock, oh horror, he's a vegetarian. I know, it's like God is punishing me. It's like, oh, you want to make fun of those guys? Here, have one.
Vegetarian. And so what's the name of the restaurant, for God's sake?
Well, it doesn't matter. If I say it, then people will know where I am, but that's okay. L'Orangerie.
Oh, well, that's an unusual name for a restaurant. Never heard of such a place.
Gee, so, how many could there be in the world of L'Orangeries?
So you took your potential son-in-law's to the restaurant, and they, of course, have no vegetarian dishes there, right?
Actually, they had a special vegetarian menu, could you believe it? I was blown away. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. You know why? Because Portugal is like one of the great spots for the Brits to hang out.
Exactly.
And the Brits they have a lot of oddballs in Britain, and they most of the vegetarian movements have all begun there.
West Virginia, when I went to school, we had a radio station. It was WITB, which officially stood for We're in the Basement, but of course we all knew it really meant We're into Bong Hits. And it was a low power FM station. I was running the station within like 3 months, but there was a DJ there who would, and she was a I think she was sophomore or junior, I can't remember. Lori Turner, and she was kind of this, you know, exactly the kind of girl I kind of like, a little tomboyish, and she had, this of course was early 80s, so she had a little bit of streak of pink in her hair, and she was a good jock, and it was, so we wound up having sex once, and the next day, she said, you know what, I think I'm lesbian.
A story that very few guys would relate to anyone, but go ahead.
My daughter loves this story, by the way. The only time I had sex in college is the next day. You know, hey man, I'm really digging chicks. So she dropped me a note the other day. She said, hey man, remember me? It's LT. Well, her name is different now, so I'm not gonna. But she's still in radio, and she's managing bands, and she's still lesbian. It was great. I'm like, hey, LT, how you doing? My 18-year-old daughter really likes that story.
Yeah.
And feel free to use this show to your advantage. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. If you maybe you have a low power FM transmitter, you want who was doing that? Didn't we get an email about that, John?
Yeah, somebody was doing something.
Oh, crap. Come on. Well, wait a minute.
Well you're right.
I'm going to go to my email. I'm going to go to my email right now. Watch how it works. Okay, so low power FM. All right, is that obscure enough?
Gmail computes, and Gmail says...
Nothing is what it says.
Well, hold on. There's a...
Yeah, it's what I thought.
Wait a minute. maybe transmitter.
Oh, now he's changed it.
We don't need no stinking transmitters. Here it is. I got him. No agenda on FM. So it only took me two hits. From Corey. Here it is. Hold on a second. What was his? It was a forward from you, no less, John. He didn't even send it to me directly. That's how good my Gmail is. Corey Allen says, I thought I'd let you know. I recently dug up my old FM radio transmitter. Now I'm broadcasting a No Agenda stream for about a 1 mile radius from my house, which covers a good chunk of the city. Bloomington, Illinois?
It'd be Indiana, probably.
IL?
Oh, that's Illinois.
Yeah.
There's a Bloomington in every state back there.
88.7 KRCK. And wait a minute. Then there was this. He's changed. I think he changed the frequency. Yes. I'm sorry. Strike that. KRCK.
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
KRCK. Now on 90.3 FM. In the morning. Bloomington,
hey,
Illinois.
Why don't you give, yeah, that was good. Give him another one of those. He can put it on his show. KRCK. It's
yeah.
Crack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Crack. That's right. Hey, everybody. It's Craycack. Let me try that again. I slipped. Hey, everybody. It's K-Crack. In the morning. Along here with JCD in Bloomington, Illinois, on 90.3 FM. Johnny! You're supposed to say something there.
Oh, it's okay. It's fine. In the morning.
Excellent. Do you see how that email works, John? Are you convinced?
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to get my act together.
You heard it here first.
Okay, so I embedded it on my blog. And after doing so, then I watched and I just noticed the timing. All the cuts were perfect. She comes out, she starts to sing, cut right away to Simon, watch his eyebrows go up. I know for a fact that, you know, that this whole thing was orchestrated by him, and I'm sure he said, put the camera on me as soon as she sings, watch, and I'll do a real slow take. It'll be great. And then, of course, instead of everybody kind of being amazed at the same time, no, they cut to the next person, and she all of a sudden is amazed some five beats after Simon's amazed. And then five beats after that, the next guy, oh, he gets all jumpy. And then they have the two goofballs, these two idiots backstage. I don't know what the point of those guys are.
And Ant and Deck.
Yeah, two boneheads that are kind of morons and you know, nose pickers. And they're all they're jumping up and down and pointing and goofing around just right on cue. The whole thing was like so staged. I'm watching. I said, this is crap. And then, so I just casually mentioned it on my blog that I thought this was staged. And boy, the guys come out of the woodwork. It wasn't staged. You're an idiot. You know, I got notes from people. This is the real deal, and it goes on and on and on.
It's like talking to Leo Laporte off air. He talks the same way.
Yeah, but he doesn't have an extremely an over-emphasized. He has a trained voice, but it's not over-emphasized like some of these guys, where it sounds peculiarly outrageous.
My wife really likes his voice. I mean,
Leo's?
And I think she infers in a sensual way.
Yeah, I think he's developed his voice specifically for that purpose.
There you go. That, by the way, is why most of us ugly guys got into radio in the first place. There was rock band, no talent, radio. Yeah, I might get laid.
Whatever happened to Acid Rain?
Acid Rain, Acid Rain. It wasn't, it was a meme and it went away. And
I remember that Acid Rain meme because I remember one of these 60 Minute shows, they're saying, oh, the statues of Italy are all dissolving because of Acid Rain.
Was Fox News around then? I didn't know that.
No, it was like 60 Minutes. It was like some report. You know, Acid Rain's dissolving all the statues of Europe. And you're just imagining these things. Oh, I'm dissolving.
Oh, no.
And then they'd find some old statue that was all screwed up looking and say, look what happened.
Yeah. Well, we had the great ice age that was coming. We had all of that. Oh, and...
You know, there's a coincidental thing that's interesting to me, that it's the climatologists, which is a fairly new discipline. Once they got a hold of this global warming thing, they start getting money. They had just have it in their grasp. They're just not going to let this baby go.
Well,
this
is like hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in research grants and all kinds of dough, of course.
Yeah,
global
warming
dough.
We should
on that shit. Absolutely.
I know. I don't understand why we're not.
We're
should be
idiots.
Big time promoters of this crap just to get as much money as we can.
In the morning.
The UN now has to rule all oceans.
This might be part of the internationalism.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, you give the UN the world's oceans, which is bullshit because, you know, what happens to the gambling casinos offshore and, you know.
Well, we tax them. That's exactly what happens. You kidding me?
But anyway, once you give them jurisdiction, then it's just the next step to, the world court.
Oh, well, that's coming.
And a one-world government.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Oh, John, my God, John, excuse me. I need to take a drink. I have once again pulled you over to the evil Death Star. I'm quite proud. So
I've never not thought this. I've always been against the internationalists.
I wish people understood that it really isn't a good idea. My in-laws are here. They just arrived, and it's sad because I had a couple days, but I can't handle them for a week, and they're here for like 10 days. But, you know, 3 or 4 days, it's great, right?
Now I see why you're rushing off to San Francisco.
No. I'm really bummed because I'd really planned it. Perfect timing, you know. I got a couple days, and I can skedaddle out of here. Now I'm not even sitting with them this evening, although now they're in bed. But they're both 83, and we're in Rotterdam during the Second World War, and, you know, their houses were bombed, and friends of theirs were killed, and my father-in-law ate garbage and drove a bike with wooden wheels, you know, 100 kilometers to get a sugar beet. I mean, you know, this kind of stuff. And so they're like, they're so lovely. Like, well, Obama seems like a really good guy. I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, why? Why, God, did you make her say that? So I laid out a couple things, and I'm like, hey, what does that sound like? You know, when the government is completely controlling large corporations, says, oh, that's interesting. That sounds like fascism. I said, this is a great line. This is my 83-year-old mother-in-law. I said, you know, all American kids, and UK now as well, because Gordon Brown has already pre-announced it, will serve at least 3 months of service to the country between the ages of 18 and 25. And she said, do they get a brown shirt with that? And I thought I was going to freaking lose it.
Get a brown shirt.
She knows. She knows. She went through it before. She said, wow, that sounds really familiar.
Yeah, sure.
And now she wants to hear more. And, of course, I'm leaving. So that's better that way.
Listen to the show and she'll get it.
Oh, God. No, I don't want her to. Let them just have their peace.
Wellington, Florida. That's interesting.
The Germans are fighting against a patent, or as we say in the United Kingdom, Gitmo Nation East, a patent application filed in 2005 by Monsanto, who, of course, want to patent the pig.
What?
Yes, they want to patent the pig.
What do you mean they want to patent the pig?
Well, Monsanto has filed a patent for, of course, a genetic manipulated pig. And these pigs are meatier and smell less, I presume. And good on you, Germany. I think they're pretty pure. I don't think Angela Merkel is in the game. I think she's just, you know, kind of like a peon who gets shuttled around. She's really trying.
She's an idiot.
Okay. That's another way to put it. But good on the Germans for freaking out over this stuff, man.
Good for them, especially about pigs.
I mean, that's
you know, what difference
outrageous.
Does it make? It's like patenting a dog that's been bred. I mean, okay, this is genetically altered, but what difference does it make? Well, if you breed two dogs and you get a new breed of dogs, you're going to patent the dog? I mean, they never did that with the, you know what the Germans are mad about? It's because they never could do that with the Weimaraner. The old thing was that, you know, the Weimaraner was a dog that was bred specifically to be a super dog. Smarter, you know, could hunt, do all these things, could talk. And
really?
Well, maybe not that, but they did a lot. And then they, you know, it was kept as a proprietary dog. They wouldn't ever let a breeding pair out.
Hmm.
And then one got away or something. The next thing you know, there were Weimaraners all over the world because it was, you know, and of course, they're not as, I don't know if they're better or worse, but that's the way you do it. You don't do it by trying to patent an animal. It's ridiculous.
Well, they may get away with it. Maybe not in Germany, but I'm certain they're going to get away with it somewhere, and then we'll be importing them.
I don't want to eat this thing.
No. No. Definitely don't want to eat it.
There's so many pigs. The variety of pigs that are available already, it's enormous. This thing is probably, what is the reason, I'm looking at the pig story here. What is the point? It's going to produce more pork while receiving less animal feed. I guess that's the thing, okay?
Well, if you look at it from the New World Order, global government, international court perspective, of course, they're eugenicists by nature, and they know that the population is out of control, growing exponentially, and we have to kill people. So you know my stance on that. But the food supply is the biggest problem. So someone's got to supply the food, and might as well be them. And they've figured out ways to make more. Basically, it's more pig for the money. In the meantime, they become fabulously wealthy. They have a lock on food distribution, which means you thought money controlled people, control the food. And you'll kill a lot of people at the same time because that shit ain't good to eat.
Well, this pig, it's like that.
And Monsanto is all over the White House administration. All over it.
Yeah, they're loaded up.
Embedded.
I mean, it's like that milk, that bovine, whatever the heck it is, they shoot into cows again to produce more milk. I don't know if any, that is the worst milk there is. I mean, the stuff is, I've had tasted it. It is tasteless. It's like drinking white water that's been, somebody mixed some white stuff in it. It has no flavor, has no milk flavor. It's crap. All right, so we have one of our fans, by the way, who retweeted our announcement that we're doing this show.
Mm-hmm.
An English woman. Are you on Twitter?
Yes. Is she hot?
You should look her up. Go to twitter.com, Mama Bear, MUMMABEAR. She's from Malden.
Hold on a second.
And she looks like your type.
Really? Hold on. Twitter.com/, spell it again,
MUMMA.
Yeah.
BEAR.
Mama Bear. Okay. Oh, she does look like that type, doesn't she? Oh, she has a website.
The website doesn't have much going on.
Jacqueline. No more pictures? Ah, she's got kids. Oh, well, that makes her... Does she qualify?
She's totally qualified. She has kids.
Let me get a little... In the morning. In the morning there for Mama Bear. I love the title of her website, Mama Bear's Twaddle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, yes. I was amused.
So, some opportunities. And then the latest two-to-the-head suicide came up. And even Ron said, holy... Of course, I'm referring to the CFO of Freddie Mac. Even Ron said, I find this one hard to believe. He said, 41-year-old guy, he was only in the job since September, hangs himself? Come on. I mean, no.
Yeah, we
no
hate to
people.
Laugh at somebody's misfortune,
no,
but this doesn't sound right.
No, this is so freaking wrong, and I've been trying to look up information on the guy. He's actually a long-time career Freddie Macker. He was there for 16 years, so he definitely knows all the ins and outs.
But he probably knows too much.
But, 40, yes, well, he did, but 41 years old, I mean, to all of a sudden just like, all right, well, and then, so let's say that he there's a reason for it. It wasn't just because he was unhappy in his marriage, so we
is
need,
that what they, what is the claim? Have you read the claim?
No, of course, no, we'll never hear about it again.
Out of depression.
No, we'll never hear it again. No, his wife found him dead by hanging, and that's about it, and we'll never hear anything again. Ever. But I do think we should start a new website called twotothehead.com.
We should.
Crap.
Absolutely. With all these questionable...
Shit. I'm never going to be faster than our producer. Well, will someone please register that for me so I don't have to fuck around with it now?
I hope you've enjoyed my little crackpot sampler. Make sure you listen to the Buzzkill episode that came before this. Here's the last crackpot clip.
There's a... United Airlines has decided to charge... really fat people.
Two seats.
Yeah, for two seats. Because they used to be free. They used to just give you the extra seat free. So there's a bunch of people complaining. This has got to be a gold mine for the local station. So they get to find the fattest people they can find. And then
we can fill up the real news, man. Let's find some fatties.
And the one they had the moniker, this one woman, is a fat activist. That's what her title was.
That's crazy.
Fat activist. So, now, this reminds me of another anecdote, which is, I don't know, maybe it's a little in bad taste, but I found it quite amusing. I'm at SeaTac. And this is
Seattle Airport.
This is a couple, Seattle Tacoma Airport. So this is a number of years ago when you did have to give somebody an extra seat if they were too big. And there's this woman standing at the counter, and she was like, it was like probably just a little, like just about top of the stomach high is all you could see of her from the other side of the counter. And I was watching her plead for the second, so she'd have a second seat. And she had the strangest body. She looked like she was a super thin supermodel from the waist up.
Uh-huh.
And so this person that was looking at her said, what are you, crazy? What, do you just want an extra seat? You know, she was just looking at her. She was nuts. But I guess she didn't say, hey, well, look at me now, because she had probably the biggest butt I've ever seen.
I've seen this body type, and I'm convinced that what's happening to exacerbate there, it's really there's a mental disorder, of course. It's a horrible condition when you think about it. These women are just built with what we used to call childbearing hips. And, of course, you know, they can just get a little bigger than that, but then they will starve themselves and work out, and it'll never come off. It's just the build almost. It will not come off, and so the top gets thinner and thinner and thinner and beautiful and slim and just so fantastic, and the bottom is you know, then it's just like, oh my God, because it's a build. It's not like you're fat.
This woman's butt was the size of a Hummer.
Oh shit.
It was unbelievable. But I felt kind of sorry for her, because I know she was trying to plead her case without having to back up and say, hey, well, you look
at my ass. Hey, fuck you. Look at my ass, brother.
Anyway.
Oh, that's so sad.
All the fat activists are reminding me of that anecdote. Now I got it out of the way.
So, you know, it used to be in the day of Rubens that Rubenesque women, which doesn't sound like, this woman was a Rubenesque plus. But it was en vogue. It was the fashion, and it was what was considered beautiful. And I have a question for you, which I think I asked you privately, and I believe we said, hey, let's talk about that on the show, because sometimes we have an agenda. Well, here it comes. My question off air to John was, did women really remove all of their pubic hair in the 1700s and 1800s? Was that the fashion, or did the painters, for some reason, just not paint it on?
I think there's a combination of things, because you have to remember that until Penthouse magazine came along, they airbrushed out that hair in Playboy. And it was always a big deal. The girls are airbrushed. And they would airbrush out all the, you know, any hair that was visible. And then all of a sudden it became kind of stylish to show it. And I would assume that the painters left it off, but I would also assume that they knew how, they had beeswax back then. They had all the honey and all these other things. They could rip that hair out, you know, with the Brazilian, as it were, in the same way they do today. I mean, I don't think the technology's changed, or it's not new. Somebody just invented wax.
So at what point do you think, did women say, you know, was it in the 1900s when they said, hey, you know, shit, that's kind of a good look. I like that bush. And then, of course, you know, because that just began. I remember my mom, she had like a friggin' afro down there. You know, that was, you weren't waxing in the 70s.
Well, that's the 70s. What were you doing?
I saw my mom there. Naked. Come on. Okay, you never saw your parents naked?
I wouldn't admit.
You're kidding me.
Now that you mention it, I probably did. But the point is, I think
Stop. Put the brakes on. This is very interesting. This is the generational divide right here.
What, that you like to see your parents wander around?
I didn't say... No.
Like,
now, be serious for a second. It was very normal in our house. You know, if you're walking from the bathroom to the, you know, to your bedroom, whatever, you know, you could walk naked, but it was no big deal. My parents would do it. We would, you know, kids would do it.
Okay. Well, but, you're European. We're Americans.
So Americans never see their parents naked?
No, you see, yeah, but you don't wander around the house naked unless you're a nudist family, and there's plenty of those. You put a towel on. Who wants to see somebody's schlong hanging, bouncing around? I mean, it's, you know, it's just like, hey, will you put a towel on or get dressed? I mean, it would be the reaction.
I have to say, you got me there. Naked men generally just not a good look.
And I don't want to see my mother roaming around naked, scratching herself. I just don't think it's something I want to see. And I would say the same thing. Will you put a towel on? Will you get dressed, for God's sake?
So what is so repulsive to you about the human body, John? What is it that repulses you so much?
It's not repulsive. It's just like it's something you just don't want to just dwell on.
Well, it sounded like, why wouldn't you want to dwell on it? You've got a body.
I just think that there's a lot of human bodies.
Is this how you homeschooled your children? With this?
My kids don't walk around naked.
No, but have you seen your kids naked?
I don't go around looking to see my kids naked.
No, I'm just asking a question. When did you? I mean, you must have seen some of them naked when they were born.
Change their diaper, for God's sake.
At what point does that stop?
It stops after you don't have to change their damn diaper. I think you've seen enough naked kids by then.
So, you know, my daughter was sunning topless at the pool in Portugal. Is that too much naked?
That's a topless area. That's not naked.
Oh, it's a topless area. Oh, okay. I just want to get it straight, John. It's a topless area.
We have our little niches. You can go over the topless beach and be topless and nobody cares. Or go to Saint-Tropez where everybody's topless. And if you're not topless, you look like an idiot.
You are so... Oh, man. You hold your fork wrong, too. So that's just a little... But that's kind of why I love you. It's all that little, you know, that little stuff.
It's just the way it is.
While sadly my episode is over, it's annoying to think about all the future classic moments that will be coming up that I couldn't include. A lot of the last clips were from the very latest episode of No Agenda. I recommend the No Agenda podcast to everyone. If you like what you've heard here, why not subscribe to No Agenda? Just type in No Agenda into iTunes and you'll find it easily. If you want to contact me, even just to say you listened, send an email to jwontdart@gmail.com. jwontdart@gmail.com. I'd appreciate it. Have a super happy day. Bye.
Just take that back. It came out wrong. The people who listen to the show aren't stupid. Sometimes we just don't hear things the way
they're... No, there are some people that listen to the show that are stupid and hate us.
Listen, little lady, it's the order of the day, issued by the highest of authority. Fellows in the service simply can't be turned away. You know that defense must get priority. So if you're patriotic, sailor or a handsome marine. No, you can't say no if he wants to dance. If he's gonna fight, he's got a right to romance. So get out your lipstick and powder. Be beautiful and dutiful too. If he's not your type, then it's still okay. You can always kiss him in a sisterly way. Oh, you can't say no. No, you gotta give in if you want him to win for you.
You can't say no to a soldier, a sailor, or a handsome marine.
No, you can't say no if he wants to dance.
If he's gonna fight, he's got a right to romance.
So get out your lipstick and powder. Be beautiful and dutiful too.
You can knit a sweater, but that's not what I mean.
Oh, you can't say no.
No, 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 no.